Well, good evening. It's a great day to be alive for the cause of Christ, right? I flew in from L.A. on Friday. 75 degrees, sunny, spoke in a church about an hour west of Chicago. Woke up Sunday morning to about 2 or 3 inches of snow. And I said to my guest, "What in the world am I doing here?" You need to come to California sometime. I was asked tonight to share a story I shared a couple times in my workshops today. So I told him, okay, I'll do that. 4 years ago, I had the privilege of speaking in Chicago up there, Rolling Meadows. And I finished on Monday morning and went down to the airport to O'Hare to catch my flight, and they had messed up my seat assignment. And so I didn't have a place to sit. So I said to these people, American Airlines, I said, I got to get back. You know, I've got responsibilities and you've got to get me back. So they put me up in first class. Somebody has to sit there, right? So I go up to first class. I sit down and the seat next to me is empty. And just before they close the cabin door, a guy comes in and sits down next to me. Well, I'm reading a USA Today sports page, and so Tiger Woods had just won another tournament, and so he leans over to me, and he said, "Oh," he said, "Tiger won." I said, "Yeah, he did." And so he said to me, "Are you into golf?" And I said, "Yeah, I play golf." And so I said to him, "Do you play golf?" He said, "Yeah, I play golf." And so we taxied out to the runway and took off, and I leaned over to him, and I said, "What do you do for a living?" He said, "I'm in the movie industry." I said, "Really?" I said, "Are you surviving? Are you making a living?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm surviving. I'm making it." A few more miles, he leans over to me and he says, "What do you do for a living?" So I told him. And he was interested in that. So we talked all about that and landed at LAX, pulled up to the gate, and stewardess asked us in first class to just remain seated for just a few seconds. And she came back. She escorts this guy off the plane, my first clue. So I get up to leave. The guy across the aisle from me, he says, "Don't you know who that was?" And I said, "No." He says, "That was Tom Cruise." So I said, "Who's Tom Cruise?" I didn't have a clue who this guy was. I know now. My kids tell me, "Dad, quit telling that story. That's embarrassment to the family." As I was getting off the plane, the guys in first class were all laughing. They said, "We were eavesdropping on your conversation coming across the country. Nobody asking for his autograph, so I would have clued in on that, I think." And they said, "We knew you didn't know who he was." And he said, "We also knew that he knew you didn't know who he was." You know, it was interesting. You know, you never know. You know, we're into the counseling business, right? And boy, he talked the language. He talked about the gospel, talked about his church, talked about accepting Christ. His church is Scientology. I didn't know that. You know, I thought the guy was a believer. He's just a guy with a beard. And he makes $15 million a film. I was probably flying on his airplane. Oh, well. Well, I've had a wonderful day today. I really have. I love what I do, and I know a lot of you probably were in other sessions, which is good. Let me quickly give you my testimony. I grew up in Toledo, and I went to the University of Toledo, and while there, I acquired an interest in income tax while I was majoring in finance. And you have to have a screw loose to like income tax, but I liked income tax, and so I started doing tax returns for my friends, you know, free of charge. This is the fun thing. And in 1969, it is a fun thing. You know, my bedtime reading is Master Tax Guide, okay? If you can't sleep, get a copy. You won't get through the first two paragraphs and you'll sleep like a baby. If you understand what it says, you'll wake up every 2 hours and cry. Now, what was I telling you? I forgot what I was telling you. Testimony. My what? My what? Income tax for free. So 1969, my pastor asked me if I would do his tax return. I didn't know how to do it. I'd never seen a tax return like that. Housing allowance, all of that. And I was stumped by that. So I began to do some research. I was interested in that. And so I poured myself in, and I couldn't find a whole lot about it. You really had to work to find out things about a pastor's income. You still do, really. And word began to spread in northern Ohio that Rickard does tax returns for pastors. So the fall of 69, my wife and I went to Cedarville. I finished my degree down there. I'd gone 8 years in a night school at University of Toledo and got tired of that. So I went down to Cedarville, finished my degree in accounting and stayed on and taught a little bit and then worked in the administration. And the word spread to southern Ohio that Rickard does tax returns for pastors for free. Then the Lord called us out to the West Coast in 1974 to the Los Angeles Baptist College. And I was a finance guy, and Cedarville and LABC were part of the regular Baptist fellowship, and so that word spread out to California that Rickard does tax returns for free. So 1975, I was invited to a pastor's conference at the Sylmar Conference Center near Seattle, or near San Francisco. They gave me 45 minutes to speak on a topic involving preachers and money, so I picked the topic, the pastor and his income tax. I had the whole 400 pastors plus their wives, and I did it for 45 minutes, and at 10 o'clock, they allowed a half hour for questions, and those guys asked me questions for 3.5 hours. That's when I realized how great the need was. Came back to my office, and I was inundated. I mean, these guys were calling from Oregon and Washington and Utah and Nevada and Montana and California, and they wanted me to review their previous year's returns and help them with that year's returns and help them with their retirement planning and all that kind of stuff. And after a couple of months, a pastor said to me, he said, "Would you come to my church and teach my people what the Bible says about money?" So in fall of 75, I launched the Family Finance Seminar Series. About the same year, Larry Burkett launched his ministry out of Atlanta, Georgia, and you knew the great ministry that he had. He's with the Lord now, but it still goes on. I did my first couple of family finance seminars and got questions about wills and trusts, so I started doing will and trust seminars, just to acquaint God's people of that final act of stewardship that they need to be aware of. And all these things are free. We don't charge for any of this. And so a couple months later, a pastor said, "Would you come to my church and teach my leaders about church finance?" I did my first church finance seminar in Moscow, Idaho. Spent 2 days with those deacons. Began to realize that some of those guys were not biblically qualified to be leaders in their church. One guy was living with a woman that wasn't his wife, and another guy was a 32nd degree Mason and propagating it right there in my seminar. I guess I lived the sheltered life. I had never been exposed to that kind of stuff before. So I said, "Hey, wait a minute, what's going on here?" So I added to my repertoire the qualifications of a godly leader from 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Little did I know, a ministry was beginning to develop. 1977, spoke in a church in Walla Walla, Washington. A businessman took me to lunch, prosperous guy, and he said, "Jim, the Lord has blessed my business, and I think you should do this full time." So he challenged me to move my family to the Tri-Cities of Washington near Seattle. We kept it there. We moved up there, kept it there 10 years. 1980, I went on the board of the college. Back up a little bit, real quickly here. 1984, Dr. Duncan, the president, retired. I was chairman of the search committee of the college. We went on a search. We called Dr. MacArthur, John MacArthur, to be the president. 1986, we started the master seminary. 1987, he said to me one day, "I want you to do all your seminars at my church." I said, "You got to be kidding." He says, "No, I want you to do them." Did them at his church. The Lord just knitted our hearts. John asked me to travel with him from 87 to 91. We did the Shepherd Seminar Series together. This gave my ministry a little more exposure than I probably needed, but the Lord just blessed it. And the thing just took off. We moved down to L.A. Now my wife and I live 7.5 months in L.A. and 4.5 months in Indiana, now Ohio, so we can cover the Midwest and the East with this ministry. It's been wonderful. Folks, the issue of stewardship is really, really needed out there. And you know, it's not taught in a lot of churches. You look at the surveys, 90% of churches in this country don't teach biblical stewardship. And I think there's two reasons for that. Number one, it's a sensitive subject. You know, a lot of pastors don't want to deal with it because they don't want to get flack from their congregation about talking about money. And yet those same people that would gripe are the people that go home and turn on their television, and for every hour of programming, they listen to 20 minutes of someone asking them for their money, and that doesn't offend them. Yet when they're taught the Word of God from the Bible, that seems to offend them. That's confusing to me. I think there's another reason. There's a lot of churches in this country who don't pay their pastors adequately so they can model biblical stewardship. And if a pastor can't model biblical stewardship, he'll probably never teach it. So I get a lot of calls from boards because of our ministry.